The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, helping Isle of Man companies and citizens to understand net zero targets and a green future.
Pastor Mai, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Max Radio. We're open line today through to 1 o'clock. So whatever it is that's bubbled up to the top of your consciousness today, something you'd like to raise with the Isle of Man, by all means get in touch. Text, email, call or WhatsApp. More than welcome. And just a quick word, by the way, if you're not following Max Radio on Facebook, then do. Like us, subscribe to that Max Radio YouTube channel. And also, if you use Twitter, you can follow Max Radio. Easy as pie. Your Twitter feed will tell you the moment that the Man in Line podcast is published and available to listen to. It's usually within 30 minutes at the end of the broadcast. So the Max Radio Twitter feed. Just follow us and tell you about the podcast for Man in Line and all the other podcasts. We have 65 podcasts available on Max Radio's website and through the various podcast providers. Enough to keep you entertained and amused all day long. Mick has got an opinion. He dropped me a note in. Mick says, in my opinion, the heritage huggers, these are mixed words, by the way, should club together, buy a brownfield site, rebuild what they want to preserve at their cost, with little or no funding from the taxpayer. Of course, that would create employment, methods passed as in education, and an extra attraction for tourism. But am I forgetting about the Manx crabs who will climb out of their bucket and shoot it down as pie in the sky, says Mick. Well, this is about the brownfield sites across the Isle of Man, and also the listing of various buildings in various states of decrepitation that are listed. And obviously, anybody who wants to redevelop them can't get planning because they're listed as heritage. But if they're heritage ruins, who does it benefit? Well, anyway, if you've got any, that's been a topical conversation for a couple of weeks or so on the Isle of Man. You may have heard this story about Visit Isle of Man, who with Manx National Heritage, the Steam Railways and the Steam Packet have announced they're extending the visitor season into the autumn and winter this year. They're hoping going to be able to capture a share of the increasing demand for offbeat UK short breaks. We'll look at that if you know anybody who would fancy coming to the Isle of Man in the autumn and the winter. Then tell us about it. Still, it's the age-old cost of the steam packet and how you get around that. I don't know how you get around that or whether or not... whatever happened to magic holidays? That's all I want to say. Oh, and a quick word, by the way. If you run a charity, Douglas Town Centre Management are once again issuing town centre licences to allow fundraising opportunities for good causes. Douglas Town Centre Management are inviting applications from charities, perhaps your charity, if you want to hold a street collection or a flag day in Douglas next year. Now, they will consider up to 28 applications. Applications for licences in non-town centre areas of Douglas will also be considered on a first-come, first-served basis. It's recommended that the charities applying have public liability insurance cover of £2 million or above. Now, if you want more information, you can go to dtcm.im. That's Douglas Town Centre Management. dtcm.im. Deadline for the applications is Monday the 7th of November. So that's up to 28 applications for flag days and street collections in Douglas for 2023. And of course, if you don't apply, then you may not get. And lots of follow-up yesterday. I just have to come to that because there was a tremendous amount of correspondence that came in after the programme had finished. Sometimes their electronic communications are delayed in servers, and it was about the number of houses and dwellings that are unoccupied and also dilapidated properties on the Isle of Man that are unoccupied, and what to do about it, bearing in mind there's a shortage of accommodations. There's a problem with people not being able to get onto the housing ladder. Although, with mortgages going up in price, who knows what will happen there. I got a note in from Malcolm who just said, surely, with the Manx solutions to Manx problems, the government could do something about this and investigate how long a vacant property has been vacant, and if somebody is blatantly sitting on a property purely to speculate on it, and if they allow it to get into a dilapidated condition, surely the government can do something about this and sanction the owner. Because plainly, the owner has got means, has got wealth, and is allowing the Isle of Man environment to get worse purely to benefit themselves. It's a thought, and whether or not there will be a policy decision on that, that of course is Chris Thomas, Department of Infrastructure Minister, and chairman of the Housing Committee, as to what will happen there. I just wonder what your thoughts are on this. Nigel's with us, first of all. Now, hi, Nigel.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. What about yourself?
Yeah, it's very good. A bit wet up north today, but apart from that, it's okay. I'd just like to, first of all, congratulate Mr. Hooper on his role now into Enterprise. Excuse me. I think he needs to wear a nice pair of woolly socks on, because you know me, I'll be nipping at his ankles over the next 12 months to make sure things are working in the right direction for hospitality and we get on our right roads for next year. But what I came on for really is just to congratulate Manx National Heritage in their opportunity to keeping the sites open longer throughout November. We do, obviously, at Albany Tours and Albany House Bed and Breakfast, we get guests that still want to go out and see these sites even in the winter, and it's a great opportunity. Oops, sorry, that's my thing going. So it would be a great opportunity for us to take them out. But the only downside to it, and I try not to come on a negative, but you know me, is that unfortunately most of the sites throughout the summer have been shutting at 3 o'clock. So it's been a bit of a back window in the sense that they're going to keep them all open for the winter. That's a great idea. But I think they need to, and Mr. Hooper needs to look into this, is I think the sites need to be staying open a little bit longer than 3 o'clock, because what they've got to realise is the sun doesn't set till 10 o'clock. So there's plenty of opportunity to go till 5 o'clock.
Nigel, I just wonder, because obviously you get to rub shoulders with the clients, the people who come from here, there and everywhere. Just tell me, I mean, is it possible to generalise about the type of person who will come to the Isle of Man in autumn and possibly winter? What type of people will they be?
Well, that's a very good question. We've been running Airbnb for 16 years and we get repeat business. Now, the people that we get are Americans, ancestral tours throughout the year. My friend John Shakespeare, who's a Blue Badge guide, he will understand that as well. The people you're going to get, and I will say this over the next 2 or 3 years, because of COVID as well, as that you still get yourself a service that don't want to go on the cruises at the moment, still want to stay local and still want to visit sites throughout the UK, Isle of Wight, Isle of Man, up into Scotland and even into Ireland. And there is a big market for it. And Visit Isle of Man have still got to go out and they've got to grip the UK market that still doesn't even know the Isle of Man exists. And I know that's a terrible thing to say, and we've been saying it for years, you know, this little golden gem in the Irish Sea, but we do need to promote it. And if the Manx National Heritage are going to give this opportunity to let it run into November, then let's get the people over here. They want 500,000 visitors, you know, over the next few years. If they want it here, we've got to give them something to come and see and something to enjoy. So the market is right across the board. It's not just TT. There's a lot of people. I've had people here last week, never been to the Isle of Man before, live in Preston. And they went, oh my God, this is wonderful. We're coming back. So, you know, we need to guide people. We need to guide people in that department to say, come on, we really need to look at this. You know, we've got sites that need to be looked at, and I'm going to email Mr. Hooper and get him on board, and I want to take him out and about and show him what needs to be looked at. But what Manx National Heritage are doing is going in the right direction to extend these summer seasons, and let's hopefully, you know, the way climate changes, you know, we could have good Octobers and Novembers. And I know it's going to be a bit chillier, but we've got the opportunity as guides to show people this beautiful island, and let's get on and do it.
Okay, and just if you can, and again, if you want a sweeping generalisation, then by all means do. But what's your opinion of the current hospitality offering?
Well, you know my views on past on that, and every time I've spoken to three people in enterprise that have taken on that position, and it's, some of it is just common sense, and don't ask me why, but they don't even take our advice. And we stand in the Villa Marina every year, and they say, you know, we're the frontline people, we're the front door, we're the ones that speak to the guests. And unfortunately, this year, I've had a number of Americans that have been coming back year on year, and people from the UK, and saying to me, gosh, it's a bit tired now, isn't it? It all looks a bit tired. So it needs to be grasped, it needs to be looked at, and I think we need a bit of a shake-up in Visit Isle of Man, and we need to get people out there and start looking at these sites. I've said it before, and I will continue to say it, that we've got these beautiful sites that we want people to visit, but they need to be clean, they need to be tidy, and they need to be open long enough so that the visitors come can enjoy it all. But, okay. The hospitality business, for years, I've been here 34 years, and I've been banging my head sometimes for 34 years, but I just need to keep nipping. And if you nip at their ankles, they will start to listen to you, and that's what I'm going to continue doing.
Okay, we appreciate it, Nigel. Thanks for calling.
Nice to speak to you. Take care.
All right, it's 18 minutes past 12 on Manx Radio. Nigel mentioned something that is one of those big successes that goes under the radar, ancestral tours. And in this, we have to pay tribute to the people in the Manx Museum and the fact that they make our censuses and records of accommodation available to people who come from all over the world, the C's, K's and Q's who come from all over the world and sit in the reading room and go through censuses hour after hour to find out their Manx ancestry. Then go around the Isle of Man taking photos. And just one of the things that you take for granted as you sit on the Isle of Man, that the Isle of Man has flung its population to all four corners of the globe over the past few hundred years. And those descendants are there, whether it's the ones in Ohio, of which there are many, whether the ones in South Australia, of which there are many. Anywhere they used to be mining, the miners from the Isle of Man and their families went to right across the globe. South Africa, Australia, in the Midwest, in the United States. So those ancestral tours are still going strong. You don't hear much about them, but the ancestry industry on the Isle of Man bubbles away very nicely. And while we're at it, well, let's say congratulations to Manx National Heritage, to Connie Lavelle and all her team at Manx National Heritage, because Manx National Heritage, Visit Isle of Man, the railways, steam packet, extending the visitor season into the autumn and winter. So, an increasing share of increasing demand for off-peak UK short breaks. I wonder, what do you think we could do to improve the offering for people who, as Nigel said, maybe coming from Preston, never been to the Isle of Man? Can you imagine that? Well, Siobhan's been taking a look.
The island's most popular visitor attractions will be operating throughout November, with Manx National Heritage's 12 sites opening through to the 29th and Heritage Railways operating a weekend service on the Isle of Man Steam Railway. Minister for Enterprise, Laurie Hooper, says the move forms part of Visit Isle of Man's long-term strategy.
So the Isle of Man's always had a very seasonal tourist season, I think we all know that, so part of Visit's long-term strategy is to grow the number of visitors we have from the current sort of 300,000 up to 500,000. Part of that is going to be making more use out of the existing season, which will require more investment in accommodation facilities and events. Part of it is about extending the season, and so if we can get where the currently hotels maybe have a bit of a downtime, but a quiet period, if we can get them full, obviously that's good for everybody. And so the Visit agency, working I think with Manx National Heritage to try and extend the season, the aim really is to try and encourage people to come and spend some of their winter holidays perhaps on the Isle of Man rather than us just being that kind of summer destination.
Lindsay Clegg from Manx National Heritage told me that the island has more to offer than other locations in the UK.
There's nowhere else in the world like the Isle of Man. Our island is amazing and we really encourage people to visit.
Why then extend the tourist season this autumn and winter?
So from couples and empty nesters to families and group travellers, it's been fantastic to see holidaymakers returning to the Isle of Man. And there's a huge, huge opportunity within the marketplace, particularly as the British travel industry is now seeing increased demand for off-peak UK short breaks. And one of the key ways in which the Isle of Man can capture a share of that market is to enhance the visitor offering into the low season. So something Manx National Heritage is very happy to support by opening our doors until the end of November.
So for those who do come across, what can they expect then?
So all Manx National Heritage sites will be open until the end of November. So you can step inside Castle Rushen in November, you can climb the Great Galaxy Wheel, you can visit all of our Castle Town sites. Every site we have will be open.
There it is then, an extension to, well, they tried that for years and years and years. Back in the 1960s, the Season Extension Committee, I think there was. Well, we'll see what happens to this. I got a note in from Ernie who just said, I just hope our visitors in the winter don't go to Douglas Promenade. All those flags have been ripped, the plastic flags, and there are no lights on at night. Douglas Promenade now looks like just another street, whereas before, with the festoon lights, it looked like a seaside resort. Text 166 177, email studio at magsradio.com, call 66 13 68. Got a note in from texter 536. I'm listening in Coventry, and there are big hoardings advertising the Isle of Man. I'm over this weekend, over at the end of October, and I'm pleased that there are going to be more places open and more things to do when we get there, says Big Al. If you can, Al, take a photo of those hoardings in Coventry and send them to us. And you may even get a man-in-line tea towel for those photos. Can we get the campsites open for Manxes and visitors alike, says Keith. Are there any campsites open this time of year? A note in from 223. Andy, motorhome holidays, massive business in the UK. I make many motorhome holidays every year and stay on service pitches. What I've found from other travellers is that they've never heard of the Isle of Man. Or they've heard that possibly the Isle of Man is unfriendly to motorhomes. Motorhome unfriendly. Nobles Park has a massive service campsite that is going to waste. It's only used 2 times per year. Surely we should be plugging motorhome holidays if we have facilities for it in Nobles Park. Why not make the most of it? It's Fred who just said, can somebody tell Manx Radio's listeners, why would people want to come to the Isle of Man? It's costing a fortune to get here on the steam packet. And when they get here, some of the place is falling apart. Does the government give a flying fig for this? Perhaps it's just that politicians just want their pension pots after they've served their time. I think tourism is completely dead for the Isle of Man, says Fred. I wish you'd get off the fence, Fred. Here's a message in that says, just regarding 15,000 more people to come to live the Isle of Man is madness, says Will. If you could tell me why you think it's madness and why you think the government are doing it. Well, they say they need it for economic growth. And that's the big mantra, economic growth. We all want economic growth. Nobody's going to vote for less money in their pocket. I suppose it just depends how we get it. And a note in to me that says, affordable travel. On this issue, personally, it is affordable travel. Regarding the longer season, says Alex, they should bring back the Peel Winter Fire Festival. We have tourist accommodation in Peel. For 2 years, the people have been ringing to see if the fire festival is on and can they book accommodation for it. We have people from Sweden staying for the summer one, says Alex. So really, if they're going to do something, if they're going to extend the season, surely why not put in the attractions for it? When was the Peel Winter Fire Festival last on? Now, regarding tourism, there's a chance to bash a hole in the travel market industry. We own the steam packet. We own the steam packet, says Paul. So drop the price. We got a new chief exec of the main brewery, so drop the price of alcohol. In the 60s and 70s, we were the cheapest place in Britain to enjoy a night out. Make no mistake about it, people don't just go to Spain for the sun. They go because it is cheap, says Paul. The Isle of Man can't cope with all the problems we already have. Texter 600 about the extra 15,000 people. Most of us are living in poverty, says Will. Most. That means a majority of people living in poverty. Well, you have to be a bit more specific, Will, about why you think the government. And remember, it is the government's stated aim to bring 15,000, to increase the population to 15,000 more people. Are you suggesting, Will, that we should diminish the population of the Isle of Man and have fewer people here? One of the big wake-up calls for the Isle of Man was 1960, the result of the 1960 census. The population of the Isle of Man went to 45,000. It was an absolute disaster. The economy was on the way down. Obviously, cold water tourism, which had been declining since the Second World War, was continuing a slow decline, and people were leaving the Isle of Man for the winter to go and work. We had a texter in from Coventry. There were people who went to work for Coventry City Transport from the Isle of Man, driving buses for the winter. They drove buses in the summer for the tourist season, but went to Coventry driving buses in the winter. There were people who used to go picking sugar beet and potatoes in England because they couldn't get work on the Isle of Man. So reliant was it on the visiting trade, the tourist industry. So perhaps suggesting, I mean, it's the government's stated aim, so let's not get away from this. This is what the government wants, 15,000 extra people for the Isle of Man to take the population to 100,000. There's no point tilting at windmills. That's what the government says is going to happen. So what do you think about that? Solar festoon lights for the promenade. More nightclubs, tastefully decorated buildings, decent shops, good restaurants, and things of interest to do, and affordable travel would boost our tourism. Thank you, Crystal. Tastefully decorated buildings. Do you think the government could get involved in that, giving free paint away?
Crossroads Isle of Man want to hear from you in our online carers survey. We want to find out what life is like for carers like you. If you provide unpaid care and support to a family member, friend or loved one who relies on you for their health and well-being, then please head to crossroadsiom.org and fill out our anonymous survey.
Crossroads Isle of Man, putting carers first.
At Isle of Man Energy, we want to support our customers as much as we can during the cost of living crisis. If you're a vulnerable customer, we can add you to our priority care scheme and assist you with safety checks, prioritising call-outs and energy-saving advice. We can also offer support, such as payment plans, to help spread the cost of your winter bills. For more information or to register for priority care, call our team on 644444. Isle of Man Energy. Energy for every generation.
Running a business is always tough, but these days it seems to be getting harder. Keeping on top of sales, recruiting staff, and trying to keep up with the accounts can mean that there just aren't enough hours in the day. One phone call to Shimin Wilson, a Manx firm of chartered accountants and business consultants, is all you need. Shimin Wilson can help you with an extensive range of accountancy-related services and a team on hand to help you through these tough times. Your peace of mind is only one call away on 627744.
The biggest 80s party show hits the Villa Marina on October 20th. We'll make you feel shiny and new with the night out you've been dreaming of. So put your hands together, get in the groove, and spin right round, baby, to dozens of chart-topping 80s classics, from Wham to The Weather Girls. Dress to impress and get ready to jitterbug down the Atlanta Highway. 80s Live, October 20th. We're never gonna give you up.
After another spell on the road, FC Isle of Man are back on Ireland this weekend and will be hunting some much-needed points in the NWCFL Premier Division. The Ravens will be hoping to make some good progress when they host Padiham at the Bowl this Saturday. Join me, Rob Pritchard and Tony Meppen for FC Isle of Man versus Padiham, kicking off this Saturday at 6 p.m. Manx Radio will be providing full live match commentary on our AM 1368 and digital platforms. Live coverage of FC Isle of Man on Manx Radio AM 1368 is supported by Celtic, investing in our community.
The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com, the Isle of Man's main Net Zero Progress website.
Pastor Mike, it's 28 minutes before one on Manx Radio. By the way, has petrol fallen in price? The oil price has been going down, and it went up briefly yesterday, but I think for 4 months the price of oil has been going down. Petrol, I think, should have fallen by now, but if you can tell me, is petrol and diesel going down on the Isle of Man? A tank of petrol, of course, cost a fortune in the start of September. Well, that's the highest it had been for a long, long time, but I just wonder whether the price of petrol, if you can report to me just to see what we're doing around the Isle of Man. I've got a note in from Peter. Thank you, Peter Kelly. Following on from Nigel's call about the time of closing for the M&H sites and ancestry tourism. Maybe a rethink is needed by M&H. The Manx Museum Library, where all the research for ancestry takes place, is closed on Mondays and Tuesday. So it's no good if you come on a 5-day ticket on a Friday. When COVID came along, they reduced the hours of opening of the museum and the library to 4:30 instead of 5. But COVID's gone now, so surely all the staff are still paid for the same time as before. So why can't the opening hours revert to what they were? Good point. Thank you, Peter. So the Manx Museum Library is closed Mondays and Tuesdays. Something to bear in mind. But that ancestry tourism, I think we underestimate that. And you can't, I mean, the looks on people's faces. I know a couple of families who've come across, one from Ohio and one from Southern Australia. And they came, sat in the library, were given unending help by the staff in the Manx Museum, and burst into tears when they found out where their ancestors lived. One of them was the back of what is now the car park at the back of Ridgeway Street in Douglas. That used to be a back-to-back housing with a manure stall near the old electricity building in Ridgeway Street. And these were people who'd been around, and when they found out where their Manx ancestors came from. And, of course, the staff at the museum are well used to reading censuses and occupation and accommodation lists. Big, big, big. Amsterdam's got the answer, says Bert. Make cannabis legal. Well, you think that might be on its way? Certainly in 2014. Germany is 2014. They think that cannabis will be legal in Germany by then. I notice Snoop Dogg has got about $100 million of investment into Germany and the cannabis industry over there. But it's just a thought. Personally, says Fred, I think the government should pump a couple of million into the Great Ramsey Pier. Now, that will be one of the best tourist attractions the Isle of Man could offer. It would be amazing to see it fully restored instead of not wasting on money on other stuff. Why is the so-called short break holiday offer not changed? So the longer people stay, the cheaper their travel should be. So the longer they stay, the more money they would then spend on the island. Surely there has to be a strategy for the steam packet. As we own the steam packet, albeit at arm's length, surely there must be a better offer. That if people have accommodation on the Isle of Man, people from across, surely we should make it easy for them to get to the Isle of Man. Every day I listen to Manx Radio from England, and I listen to people running the Isle of Man down. If you think the Isle of Man's bad, you should come to England. Realise that you live in paradise, says Big Al. I wish I'd never left. Come and see us again soon. It would be a good idea if small cafes and coffee shops didn't close at 5 o'clock at tea time, says Liz. Well, that's interesting. I got a note in from, I think it was Lorraine who messaged me in and just said, I had some visitors from across, and we were going to a particular pub on the Isle of Man that served food. We got to the pub, and they're supposed to serve food up until the evening. We got there, and the kitchen was closed. The bar staff said, as it had been quiet during the day, they closed the kitchen. Had a couple of messages like that. Surely, does that happen? Is that the way to look after a hospitality industry? And should opening hours be actual opening hours? So this is the story. That's what's going to happen. The visitor season is going to be extended, and we're going to make the most of it, although the Manx National Heritage sites aren't going to be open the full day. They'll be open most of the day. And the steam railway will be on till the weekends only, but it is going to be on. How do we extend that season? Back in August, by the way, the government took the decision to cap the cost of electricity on the Isle of Man, aimed at helping residents and businesses during this global cost of living crisis. I got a note in from Una, and she said, what's the story about this electricity cap, and is it going to go on after April next year? Well, of course, this capping the cost of electricity, subventing, really, the cost of electricity, is a welcome helping hand. How much will people be paying once the cap lifts at the start of April next year? Have you seen your new improved price on that electricity bill? Scary, isn't it? Well, Manx Utilities have warned that they can't rule out the possibility of electricity bills going up in April next year. Now, there's a brand new chair for the Manx Utilities Authority, Tim Johnston, MHK.
Concerned, confused or curious about climate change? Want to do your part? Then visit netzeromatrix.com, helping businesses and individuals understand the net zero targets that government has set, how they'll be achieved and what impact it will have upon us. Plus, get practical advice and tips for saving energy, the options available for switching to renewable energy technologies, and much more. We all need to do what we can. So visit netzeromatrix.com and join us.
This is Tim Johnson, MHK, on the cost of electricity from April next year.
It's an incredibly volatile market at the moment. On a day-to-day basis, it's swinging wildly, the gas price. All I can say to you is, my crystal ball is a bit cloudy at the moment, but I think coming the new year, we'll be looking very closely, wanting to see where markets are. But yeah, ultimately, from the 1st of April, we are potentially going to be seeing a tariff increase. What that will be, we honestly don't know at this stage.
Is there concerns maybe that prices are being pulled back like a slingshot at the moment, that they might just become completely untenable for residents?
Yeah, it's a concern for all of us. I mean, this global uncertainty is hitting everything across our whole economy. And like you say, this is a global issue, whether it's food, whether it's electricity, cost of living generally. There's some really big challenges. So what this does, this price cap gives us a 6-month period to be able to, for businesses, for the individuals over the, you know, those expensive months of those dark months of winter, to know where they stand, where they can budget as far as electricity price is concerned.
There are concerns in the UK of potential gas shortages going into the winter, which in turn might have a knock-on effect on electricity supplies. What's the situation with that here on the Isle of Man?
We use a lot of gas for our electricity production through the gas pipeline, but we also have alternatives. We have our backup systems on Ireland, our diesel backups, which can cover as well. So I'm confident that we have the structures in place.
How confident are you? That's Tim Johnson, chair of the MUA, about what's going to happen in April of next year. I just wonder what your thoughts are regarding what Mr. Johnson had to say. And bearing in mind, we've got Kroger in the background, the Kroger company, saying that there's gas off Mackled Head. They claim there's lots of gas off Mackled Head, and they claim that it could be provided to the Isle of Man, certainly at a discount to what's been paid. Of course, it is many, many years in the future, but it's still there. There are 5 properties been empty for over 2 years at Ballacobb in Balaff, says Texter 375. And regarding empty properties on the Isle of Man, says Pat, Douglas Corporation have had lots of empty properties for a long time, but this is due to a lack of funds to update them. There are hundreds of new houses, I think, have been bought by wealthy investors from off the Isle of Man. These properties are left empty for a couple of years, then sold off at a profit, in which the owners can legally do without paying tax on the profits. Now, older buildings, young people can't get a mortgage on older buildings, for most of it will fail a survey report due to dilapidation. So surely this can only be rectified if planning on greenfield sites gets limited, says Pat. Well, this process and this habit, the practice of investors from off the Isle of Man buying properties on the Isle of Man purely for investment, is a vexed question, and I just wonder what you think. First of all, does it happen as much as people think it happens? Because it may be just a bête noire. But if this happens, if people are putting money into betting on our rising property market, well, they're on a pretty easy bet, because for the past 40-odd years, it's done nothing but go up. Over time, of course, there may be peaks and troughs, but it's an easy bet over time. But that's the marketplace. Do you think it's the government's job to enter into the marketplace and restrict off-island investment in properties on the Isle of Man? Stephen's with us now. Hi, Stephen.
Good afternoon, Andy, and good afternoon, listeners. It amused me when you interviewed Tim Johnson. And I'm not singling Tim out, but it doesn't make any odds who we have as a titular head of the MUA and their opinions. It's irrelevant. The only people that is relevant in this issue of high energy costs is Comin and what they collectively decide to do for the benefit of the people of the Isle of Man. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but if I've read the newspapers correctly from the UK, is that there's going to be a two-year cap in the UK. And if they can afford a two-year cap, I do think that we on the Isle of Man should expect no less from our politicians. This money is for a rainy day, an emergency. And if this is not an emergency, I do not know what is. So for me, I would hope that Comin once again directs the MUA via money that they've saved up, or they've saved up for the Manx people, to ensure that our energy bills are affordable. Because if they go up too much, no matter what an ordinary person earns or receives in benefits, you'd never be able to heat yourself or keep the property dry or have electric on. So that's my point, Andy. I do think that it's nonsense to keep on interviewing these titular heads. We've had so many changes of heads recently that it just reinforces my view that at times politicians aren't in control of the departments, and they can go there and read any script out that they're given.
Stephen, these are unprecedented times. Do you think it's now the government's job to protect the customers in this way?
Well, it's not the customers, Andy. It's the people of the Isle of Man that are living here that need protected. Admittedly, the way the bills go out, obviously there's single people who the bill is sent to, but essentially it's the people of the Isle of Man that we're looking to protect, not a single customer. It's the people. We all need basic utilities. We all need a home and a dwelling where we can go and reside and put the heat on or the electric light on when it's required.
Well, that's a very good point. It's a human requirement, and a government's first job is to protect its citizens.
Well, absolutely, and this is why I say it matters nothing what who we make head of the MUA. It could be anybody. It could be you. It could be me. It could be immaterial. It's Coleman who have got to decide what the policy is, and it's our responsibility, that is the people of the Isle of Man, to let our MHKs know in no uncertain terms that we expect them to look after us and make it so that our lives, it's affordable. And this doesn't knock on to somebody going home at night to watch the television. It goes to all the businesses who are providing social facilities for us, cafes, restaurants, public houses, cinemas. It's the whole gambit that they've got to protect. And that's the job of Coleman. And it's our job, that's the people, to ensure that we say to our MHKs, we expect you to lobby in Tynwald for us to have affordable bills. And if that means using up a significant proportion of our saved money over the next couple of years, that's their job to spend it. It's not up to us to go cold and hungry and have no light on and be sitting shivering with pensioners and all the rest of the people who need electric light on.
That's a very good point. And it's funny, when you were talking there, Stephen, the phrase civilised society came into my head.
Absolutely. And if we want to have a society where we look after everybody, we can't go back to the old days where there's only a certain amount who'll have the lights on and the heat on, and the rest of us will be sitting there with a extra blanket around us. I'm sure some people would hanker for those days, and I'm sure people will come on and say, that's what we used to do in the old days. Well, we all died earlier in the old days because, undoubtedly, in my view, improved houses and improved society has helped people live much longer. So let's not have any nonsense about what we used to do in the old days. We all used to die younger in the old days. Life expectancy has got better, and it's got better because the society treats its people better.
Okay. All right, Stephen. Thanks for calling today. It's 12 minutes to one now.
Concerned, confused or curious about climate change? Want to do your part? Then visit netzeromatrix.com, helping businesses and individuals understand the net zero targets that government has set, how they'll be achieved and what impact it will have upon us. Plus, get practical advice and tips for saving energy, the options available for switching to renewable energy technologies and much more. We all need to do what we can. So visit netzeromatrix.com and join us.
Need something to brighten up the autumn months? Treat yourselves to a glitzy night at the Manin Hotel. Enjoy a glass of Prosecco on arrival, three-course a la carte dinner, superb entertainment, plus a night stay and breakfast too, all just £185 per couple. Join us on Friday, October the 28th for a fabulous Adele tribute show from Helen Ward-Jackson. Visit maninhotel.im to book or call 60 25 55 now.
Business Talks is the new podcast series from PwC Isle of Man, bringing you the latest perspectives and knowledge on topics and challenges facing business and society. Episode 1 is out now, talking about all things ESG and how your business can take action.
It's not just a box-ticking exercise. It really does pull through into adding value to businesses. And we see that, you know, you can see companies will find it easier to find new customers.
Business Talks from PwC Isle of Man. Available now from manxradio.com and all podcast platforms. Visit pwc.com/im for more information.
The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, your one-stop shop for advice on renewable energy solutions and other green initiatives.
It's 10 to 1 on Manx Radio. A note in from Brian in Farm Hill. Could the island charge additional rates on empty properties, say 1.5 times after 1 year, double after 2 years? It will be an incentive to renovate, let or sell empty properties. And David's with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Randy. Stephen reminded me earlier there about, and hope he comes back on tomorrow and gives us an update. Remember, we've said about land and properties available, but don't forget, we've still got the current home in Peel. I have no connection with it at all, but I just wonder, the current home, okay, it wasn't maybe fit for purpose, or it provided a need and wasn't for the future. But what's happening with that? What are the trustees doing? Have the trustees packed in? Is there an opportunity for appeal commissioners? I'm suggesting there that they could probably, with government support, buy the place and bring it up to a standard and have their own home sheltered accommodation in Peel. It's begging to be done. I don't know why we're not using that as a recycled facility.
And go on.
And the other one was, you're going to like this, travelling around the countryside, isn't it? It's great. Is the vehicle testing centre. What are we doing with that? The old one.
Oh, the old one, new one. In Tramode, yeah.
Yeah. What are we doing? Is it going to be, I don't know where we're going to sell it. I hate selling stuff that in the future they actually need. Because remember, and it goes back in my day when they were selling the old police headquarters, not the police station, the police headquarters down in Woodburn Road. Remember?
Yeah.
Where the civil defence were, next to Africa House, which is really dilapidated now. You look at it from afar and you think to yourself, what's going on there? But we bought the home at the back of that in, I can't remember the street's called.
Salisbury Street.
There. Salisbury Street. You bought the home there. So why did, I think the government sold that. I'd gone by then, and I think the government had sold it to somebody else. Why would we sell land that we're going to potentially use again in the future? Because where is the home going to expand?
Interesting. Well, the government land bank is a mystery to anybody who's not on the inside.
Well, that's it. Well, who's in charge of the land bank? I would think it's probably the Treasury Minister. So there's an opportunity to have it on to see. You know, what do we have? They're custodians for the population to say that we own this, like the steam packet. We own the steam packet. They used to make a nice little profit. So where's that money, that extra profit's gone? And I don't mind them buying the boat.
Mm.
I think that's probably a golden opportunity because they, as long as it's not sitting there in a harbour somewhere and it's used somewhere.
Okay, all right.
The Manx flag.
Good to hear from you. Thanks for being with us today, David. A note in from... let's have a look here. Is a WhatsApper on 093. The old test centre has been sold to Swagelock, apparently, because we got the brand new one next door. So is it Swagelock getting bigger? Very successful company. Here's a message in from Bill, who just said, many, many sites are brownfield sites not getting developed. Two examples, the old marine laboratory in Port Erin, developers turned it down. Two Castletown, number two is Castletown Golf Links Hotel, again, developers turned down again and again. Ramsey, lots of stuff turned down in Ramsey. Why is the old guard stopping any development going ahead? What's going to happen in 10 years' time? Will these sites stay empty and falling down? Doesn't make any sense to me, says Bill. Juan, can you make sense of it?
Oh, Andy, you're trying to make sense of government to start with. I mean, I'm going to scratch my head there to start with. I think with them, the future of them, our own personal carbon credits, which is where they want this all to go, the Isle of Man will be booming because no one will be able to afford to go anywhere else. You'll run out of carbon credits. that's the truth of it. I think they actually see a niche in the market there because I think people are going to be staying at home a lot more if the globalist agenda gets its way. But going on to briefly, and I know we haven't got much time. You were talking to Keith Kruse, came on the news article recently about the food plant.
Yeah.
And again, it's like he who controls the food and controls the energy controls the people. And I think it's very important. Someone really needs to be sitting down and seeing if they can get the food plant staying open and the mill. I think it's more important now. Like you said, we're in unprecedented times, and I think it needs a review on these things and someone to sit down and do the calculations and get this working properly. I think from what I've heard from people I was talking to this week who are in the know, the slaughtermen up there are only on part time anyway. Is it 3 days a week or something like that? I believe.
Well, nobody quite knows what's going to happen with that, with the meat plant. But one thing is certain, if it closes down, it'll be a devil of a job to reopen, don't you think?
Absolutely. And I'm struggling to see. We've got an 80,000 population. What we all need is food and heating. That's our basics. So I'm struggling to understand how this cannot be made operational by someone, how this cannot be made financially secure and operational. And I know, you know, we've got a lot of importation, but the quality of the flour that we have here and the quality of the meat that we have here is something that people are not getting. I mean, the mileage on it is low, and we've got a quality product here, which could be manufactured, shipped, sold, and also supply us. I'm struggling to understand why it can't be made profitable.
We could be the carbon credit kingdom of Europe, couldn't we?
Don't start me on carbon credits, Andy.
Thank you for calling, Stuart. Okay, thanks for that. Good to hear from you. I'm surprised how little comment there's been regarding the capping of electricity prices at 22p, and in particular, Comin's own backpatting method of application, says Peter. This only defers the winter increases to be paid back by the public over 20 years. What happens after the 31st of March next year? More loans? This won't encourage people to come to live and work in the Isle of Man. I mean, correspondence with my MHK since it was first announced. Thank you, Peter, for that. Well, more as the week goes on. Tomorrow, we're live with the students of King William's College. And back on Friday, Open Line. W-I-N-T